Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
One of the things that KT thought was a good idea, and Ben and I agreed, was to really try to remember how 2018 unfolded, because there was a lot of twists and turns, and it's extensive, so we're going to do this two ways. We're going to give you pre-Amari Cooper now, and then coming up at 5:20, we'll give you post-Amari Cooper. But KT, how did this whole thing unfold last year?
Well, this came to my mind when I was watching All or Nothing with the Panthers, and in week one, it was Panthers-Cowboys. That's where week one started, and that game was so piss poor offensively. The Cowboys at the half trailed 10 to nothing. They fell down 16 to nothing at one point. But then, kind of like they do, they kind of came back. Zeke scored. It was 16 to 8. Cowboys had a chance to tie the game despite having no offense for three quarters. In the fourth quarter, they wake up. And this is kind of what happened to end the game. But the Cowboys had a chance to come back.
Prescott pumps and runs up and steps back and runs left and is sacked and fumbles the ball. And it is recovered by Carolina.
They lost 16-8, but that game, I mean, it opened up everything we talked about offensively, the new Linehan plan, no number one wide receiver, and they could not move the ball until the fourth quarter.
There's been a lot of times where that's been the case. That'll change as we get into the segment later. But the back half of 2017 and the front half of 2018, that was the dominant part of the conversation, and Dak was taking the majority of the criticism for that.
Oh, yeah. Then we get to week two. So you're down 0-1. Week two, you have the Giants game. And the third play from scrimmage after a bad week of no offense. Here's the third play from scrimmage in week two.
Hold on. I know what this is. This is Tavon, right?
We'll see.
Okay.
Play fake to Elliott. Time deep. There's a shot and a man. At the 30, the 25, the 20, the 5. Tavon Austin. Touchdown, Cowboys.
I remember this so well because it was early in the game. We're like, now we're talking, huh? Look at that. Look at the speed of Tavon. Look at how exciting. This is what we wanted. And then they took it all and put it back into a metal box and locked the door.
Yeah, and I was thinking at that point, wow, okay, man, I've been really hard on Linehan, but look at that. They figured out how to get the ball to a speedster. This thing is going to open up. They're going to throw the ball deep this year.
In that game, Dak had 160 yards, but he was good, 16 of 25. I think a key thing to remember of that game, the Cowboys won that game 20-13. It never got terribly close. I mean, it wasn't something where you were shaking in your boots at the end. But the Cowboys defense held Saquon Barkley to 28 yards.
Wow.
And that's where I think everyone went, whoa. Now, they did give up 14 catches and 80 yards to Barkley. But that's I think that's when everyone went, whoa, is this defense? Right.
And that was a game of surprises. You're going to be able to throw the deep ball, and wow, this defense may be legit.
You know what else I remember about what we were talking about the next day after that game? Is we're talking about that's the way Zeke should be used. We're talking about, man, look at all these catches out of the backfield.
So you're 1-1, and then you're going to Seattle week three. And the game was so weird. Seattle was up 17-3 at the half. I'm going to tell you this. Zeke had 127 yards on 16 carries. There's a lot that happened in this game, and I found this clip of Brad that kind of summed up Zeke's day and how it relates to everything we've been talking about with Zeke. The Cowboys lost this game 24-13, but listen to Brad kind of wrap up the game.
It's tough to say a guy has had an unproductive day when a running back has run for 100 yards. He's got a 108-yard rushing day to go along with his fumble and drop and step out of bounds on what would have been a touchdown and a couple of whiffs on cut blocks.
I would call it an uneven day for
Zeke. I would say it's a good
one. You know, he's had a 19,
he's had some really
21,
nice, 26. Without him, they have no chance.
Yeah. Okay. Again,
I thought the way that ended was good, though. Without him, they have no chance. They lost that game by 11.
I do think, too, that this is when we started all those conversations about the up and down nature of not knowing. Oh, well, no, that was the year before. I apologize.
Yeah.
That was the year before. My bad.
I do think the conversation at this point is like, okay, you've got three games of Dak. You're 1-2, and Prescott has 170 yards, 160 yards, and 168 yards. Like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Is this just going to be a bus driving situation? Are they ever going to really unleash the hounds? You know, you had the one play to Tavon, but like where's the explosiveness out of this offense?
And boy, no one is enjoying it more than Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now week four, they go back home.
Hell yeah.
To Detroit. Zeke had 155 yards on the ground that day. Dak threw for 255 yards and two touchdowns. But the game was tight all the way through, back and forth. It's 24-23. The Cowboys are down with 2:17 left, okay? And Dak works the team down the field, 9 plays, 55-yard drive to set up this.
38 on the left hash to win the game. Snap, hold, kick, Maher, good! Cowboys win!
Marowitz.
Now, if he misses that, you're 1-3 and dead.
Oh, the other boy.
And he nailed it. But they had the ball with 2 minutes left, and they went up the field. 55 yards. They sell for a lot of field goals on these game-winning drives that you'll see. But there they are, 2-2. This is where, to me, the big thing in the season that changed things was Amari Cooper. But in terms of the head coach, week five is where I think things changed for him. At Houston. Now, this game was 13-13, heading to the fourth quarter, okay? Tie game, good defense. At the time, you're going, God, this defense is great, man. This defense has done its job all year. Offense hasn't done enough. They go to overtime. Cowboys get it first. They get a first down. Then they get another play. They throw it to Swaim. Oh, my God. They move into Houston territory.
Mm. Jeff Swaim, do you want to get in on this, bro?
3rd and 1. Crowd the box. Zeke up the middle. Stuffed. 4th and 1 on the Houston 42-yard line. Now, think about how overtime rules work. You get the ball first.
Mm-hmm.
So if you kick a field goal and make it from 59, you're still giving Houston the ball back. 4th and 1, and Garrett calls for the punt at the Houston 42. He calls for the punt.
That is the embodiment of who Jason Garrett is.
Sure is, man.
He is the most conservative human being in the Metroplex. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He sleeps in starched Dockers.
I think it was a bad punt that went to like the 20, or I think it's about the 23. It didn't even flip the field. Like, he didn't pin him inside the 10.
And all right, then, dice, I don't roll them. I don't roll them, right? The dice, I don't roll them, right? Those are dice. I don't
just
roll
them.
I
collect them, put them on my shelf. I've got a lot of dice. But here's what happened once you gave Houston the ball.
Fake handoff and throw it down the left side. Caught at the 40. Here goes Hopkins to the 50. And he breaks 3 tackles to the 35. And he's inside the 30 to the 28.
Good night.
Your leading receiver that game was Jeff Swaim. 3 catches, 55 yards.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Texans kicked the field goal. You fall to 2-3.
And juggernaut offense.
Answer. He answered everyone all week. I just thought our defense was playing well. Yeah.
Do you guys remember? Didn't that game save Houston's season?
At the time, it sure did, man.
Weren't they 0-4?
They were 0-4.
Yeah, and then they ended up making the playoffs.
They ended up making
it. So Zeke had 54 yards. So you have Zeke. You're now at that point, you're 2-3 on the season. You have Zeke. You're not getting the most out of him, obviously. Your offense is sputtering, and your defense is shown to be a little better than you thought, but your offense is just leaving a lot to be desired.
And then you have the home game against Jacksonville. Oh, Jacksonville comes into your house. It's the nationally televised CBS game that day. and the Cowboys tore it up. I didn't even pull a clip. There's too many to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
They won the game 40-7. Cole Beasley, 9 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. That was a big day for him, obviously. Dak was 17 of 27 for 183 yards. Like, he didn't throw for 200 yards. 183 yards, but he didn't need to. They killed him. Now, at the time, you're thinking, the Jaguars, who were in the AFC Championship game last year? I mean, then right. We found out that everything went wrong for Jacksonville, and they had, you know, in-house turmoil and all that. But there you go. Another game to make you go, I kind of still believe.
And they're 3-3 at this
There's
point.
There's a 40-point game. 3-3. Then they go to Washington, week 7. Huge game. Division rival. Tied at 7 at the half. Cowboys are trailing by 3 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're trailing by 3. Okay? They've got the ball in the 10-yard line. Their own 10. Okay? So 5 minutes. You got to go 90 yards. Are you listening to getting field goal possession? I mean, this huge drive, and here's what happened.
Now it's 3rd and 14 at the 10. 5:07 left, Washington up 13-10. Snap is back. Prescott from his goal line, standing, looking, rushed. He's going to... Oh, he fumbled the ball.
Yep.
Picked up and walked in for a Washington touchdown by Preston Smith. Got to throw the ball.
20-10. Preston Smith scores 20-10. But still about under 5 minutes left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys get the ball and score. 20-17. Still alive. They stop Washington, get the ball back, and drive into Washington territory. So Brett Maher can tie the game.
Kicks away, line drive, 52, hit the left upright and bounced out. The Cowboys lose to Washington, 20-17.
Okay, but go back. There was a penalty. It was a 47-yard kick. And there was that weird leverage penalty.
You're right. That was the LP Leducer penalty.
LP Leducer.
Gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Doing the call that's never been seen.
LP Leducer.
In NFL history. And that would have been, wasn't that in the middle of the, hey, we haven't gotten a holding call called against the other team.
Starting to feel like the deck is stacked from Goodell and his goons.
That leads you to the bye week.
Collusion!
And you are 3-4. But on day one of the bye week, you trade for Amari Cooper, a first-round pick. And you go, oh my God, they're going for it.
This is
3-4. They're still in it, huh? So they trade for Cooper. You're 3-4 the bye week. Let's do one more game, the Tennessee game. And then they'll get us right halfway through. And
we'll
do the rest of it at 5:20. Tennessee, this was Monday Night Football.
Yes.
And I think the play, I mean, you can talk like Amari Cooper did have a touchdown in that game. But
on the first drive, right?
I think the play everyone remembers from that game is this one.
So 2nd and goal at the 6. Straight eye formation now. Play action. Little pass in the middle of the end zone is intercepted in the back of the end zone. Byard, a la Terrell Owens, just went and did a dance on the blue star, and that's gathering some Cowboys who are objecting.
Gosh, I forgot. Remember when Byron Jones was the one who kind of went out and, I guess, protected the star, I
Good
guess
for him.
They would say.
Good for him.
Yeah, there was not. The Cowboys missed a field goal on that first drive, but the second drive, Tennessee fumbled. They fumbled on their first drive, gave it right back to us, and then they had the 4-yard touchdown pass to Cooper. Oh, my God, Cooper, touchdown, changed the offense. We're going to kill him. And then after that, the defense sucked all night long.
Right.
And that interception, when they were in the red zone about to score, just killed them.
Now, I also believe that was Cole Beasley's worst game of the season, 3 receptions for 16 yards, and my understanding was they lowballed Cole right before the start of the game.
Really?
Like before the game, and it could have been an agent mistake to share that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But whatever, it was a huge mistake because he was in his head the whole time, felt disrespected. He's like, man, you don't even value me. What?
Right.
I'm going out here risking my life. Why am I hearing about this right before kickoff?
You're right, so, dude. We don't know.
If it's the Cowboys
like
or the agent. The agent was clearly involved. So
surely he knows better than to do that.
I would think so, man.
I could see Garrett walking up and putting his hand on Cole's shoulder and going, I heard we gave you a low offer. That's okay. Really need you to shake it off and go out there and perform your best, Cole.
Yeah.
One foot in front of the other. So that loss, though, put them at 3-5 and created a week of, oh my God, we traded our first round pick. Who's going number 8 in the draft?
Right.
Why did we make this trade? We are 3-5.
And then coming up at 5:20, they put it all together and make the playoffs.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.